On my word as a gentleman. Y'all remember the famous words of Dan Caldwell, Gentleman Dan Caldwell from Andy Griffith fame. He was an inmate that had been locked up, held in the Mayberry jail. The state police had captured him and brought him to Mayberry to stay. And his famous line was, "On my word as a gentleman." And with that line, he had suckered in Barney and Opie and Aunt Bee. And before it was over with, he had Barney's gun and was breaking out of jail. That was his famous line, "On my word as a gentleman." We don't hear that too often anymore. For one thing, I don't know how many gentlemen are left. But, we do have a lot of other phrases. I promise. I give you my word. I promise you. We hear things like that all the time, where people are making those kinds of statements and assuring us of their trustworthiness. And most of us, I think, have learned that the more they promise, probably the less likely it is to be true. The more they give you their word, the more they assure you, the less likely they are to be telling the truth, it seems like. And so we kind of have our doubts about promises and assurances. But one promise that we have that we began last week looking at, and that was the promise of the Word of God. We talked last week about the promise and the anticipation. All the way back to Genesis, the Bible had begun to announce and proclaim the birth of a Savior, the birth of a Messiah. Back in Genesis, the Bible says there that God confronted Satan and told Satan after the fall, said there will be out of the seed of this woman will come one, and you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. And so that was really our first prophecy of the Messiah, one that certainly Satan bruised his heel at Calvary, but Christ crushed his head at the resurrection. And so we begin back in the Old Testament with this anticipation. It's an interesting bunch of prophecy when you begin to look back and look at the anticipation and look at what these people were expecting. I would love to be able, if it was possible, to get into a time machine and travel back in time and stick a tape recorder in front of some of these Old Testament folks and ask them, "What were your anticipation? What were you expecting?" When God said, when the prophets began to prophesy that there was going to be a Savior, that there was going to be a Messiah, what were you expecting? We have some, idea of that based on the Gospels. They were expecting a great king. They were expecting a great warrior. They were expecting a great leader who would free them from the Roman oppression. They were expecting something like that. And instead they get, as Debbie just sang, a baby. They get a child born to nobody, in nowhere, and nobody knew. And that was the last thing in the world that they expected. When you make a promise like a Messiah is being born, a Savior is going to come, a child, the child of God, the Son of God, the Deliverer is going to be, is coming onto the scene, you expect a little bit of fanfare. Can you imagine what would happen if we would turn loose the Hollywood machine or the news media today to announce the birth of the Son of God? I just give you a little small idea to kind of put it in mind. Unless you've been asleep for the last year or so, there's been a new baby born in England. The prince and the princess have had a child. And I think the doctors have followed that, the drummers have followed that poor woman everywhere she went. To the doctor's office, everywhere, she's gained one third of an eighth of an ounce. They have followed her everywhere. When the child was born, cameras everywhere. Now that the child is born, she's lost one third of an eighth of an ounce. She's back to her, here is the print. Can you imagine what the Hollywood machine, what news media would do today, to the announcement, of the promise? to the arrival of what has been anticipated for 2,000 years. We talked last week as we began this series of the promise and talked about the anticipation. These folks have been anticipating this event for almost 2,000 years. And so you can only imagine what we would do to it. Today, it would have been CNN. They would have probably dedicated a whole channel on cable and dish. I mean, just to the arrival of the Son of God. It would have been wall-to-wall coverage. I mean, down here in the corner at the service station, they would have been selling both of the baby towels. I mean, now they would down here under that little tent. That's they would have been everywhere. And so the announcement, after all, the anticipation has been building and has been building, and now finally it is time to announce the birth. Even in our society, even the most insignificant ugly baby gets a big play. They send out pictures and cards and listen, I'm just being honest. It's true. They send them out and they're trimmed in gold and calligraphy and a picture of the baby and everything. It's a big deal. But when the Son of God is announced, you know the story. Out in the field, a group of shepherds get the announcement. Out in the field, a group of shepherds. Be honest, have you ever asked yourself, why in the world did God choose to announce the birth of His sons to shepherds? Why wasn't it announced in the temple? Why wasn't it announced from the steeple of the temple? Why didn't, instead of angels lighting up the sky out in the pasture, why didn't the sky around the world light up? Why didn't angels appear to everybody? Why in the world did God choose to announce the birth, the arrival of His Son on this planet in such a unusual, honestly, almost insignificant way? Well, I got to be honest with you this morning and tell you I can't answer that question. I don't know why He did it, but I'm very thankful that He did. Because when we look at that and understand this announcement that took place there that evening to the shepherds, I think there are some great lessons for you and I. Had he been announced in the temple to the priest, it's possible that none of us would have ever known. Had he been announced to the wealthiest, to the political leaders, it's possible they would have kept it to themselves. We do know that when the political leaders did find out, when Herod did discover that Christ had been born, he issued a decree to have him killed. That was his goal. So when we look at this, I can think of a lot of other ways that he could have been announced, but in hindsight, when I look back, I see that this was a good way. Perhaps the best way. Because from it, we have a valuable lesson for you and I today. And so, as we consider a familiar story, you know the story. It's just part of the Christmas tradition. We all know it. Without even opening our Bible, that in that same country, shepherds were abiding. We know the story, but I think sometimes we become so familiar with it, that we have really lost the importance of the story. So this morning, as we continue talking about the promise, this great promise that was made back in Isaiah and others, I want to talk this morning out of this familiar passage of the Christmas story regarding the promise announced. What do we learn from the announcement of the child? What do we learn from the announcement, the way it was announced, who it was announced to, how it was announced? What do we learn? What can we draw? What can we take from this story? One of the important things to know, whether you're reading Scripture or, for that matter, anything else, you kind of need to know a couple things about what you're reading. You need to know who wrote it. It's really important to know who wrote it. But let me just illustrate that for you. Let's just flash back, and some of you have to flash further than others. But let's just say you're about 13, 14 years old. You're in the 9th, 10th grade, and you come and sit down in your desk. And when you do, there's a note laying there, and you open it up, and it's got all these little red hearts all over it. And right in the middle, it says, "I love you." You want to know who that come from, don't you? Because that could matter. You know, did it, you know, ladies, you're looking around the room. Did it come from the little ugly fellow over there? Did it come from the star football player over there? You know, fellas, we're looking around and say, did it come from her or her? Yeah, it's important to know where it come from. You know, and it's also important to know who's it to. You may have just picked up somebody else's letter, and that could cause a lot of problems, couldn't it? You didn't know who wrote it and who they wrote it to. And so when we look at this letter, we know who wrote it. You know, Luke wrote the book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But who is this announcement to? Let's talk for a moment about these shepherds that got this great announcement of the birth of Christ. Of all the people of all time that could have been chosen to receive this announcement, he chooses a group of shepherds. And we don't know how many shepherds. And I know, well, there are three of them. I've seen the nativity scene, right? And I don't know where we come up with three. I've seen the play. You know, I know there's three of them. There's three wise men and there's three shepherds. I've seen the movie. You know, I know that. But we don't know for sure how many. You know, well, I know what's happened. Over time, you know, we've decided there were three wise men because there were three gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And somebody like Diane was getting ready to do her Christmas play, and she lined up in the nativity scene and she looked at it. And over here she had three wise men, and over here she had six shepherds, and she looked at it and goes, "No, that's just not right. That's not balanced. Two of you are going to have to sit down, you know, and make it where there's three of each." And that's how we've ended up with three shepherds. Let's be honest. We don't know how many shepherds there were. You know, there could have been 13 for all we know. And the other reason we only have three is that's all the costumes we could afford for the play. You know, that's why we have three shepherds. You know, but we don't know how many there were. But why in the world? Why were they chosen? What do we know about the recipients? Well, to be perfectly honest with you, we know next to nothing about the shepherds that received this message. When those angels appeared, we know very little about the original recipients of this announcement of unto us a child is born. We know very little about them. In fact, like I said, we really know nothing except they were shepherds. We don't know their name. We don't know where they were from. We don't know their homes. We don't know their houses. You know, we don't know their wife. We don't know their children. We don't know their parents. We don't know where they went. We don't know, you know, what happened to them. You know, we don't know how many they were tending. We know nothing really about the shepherds except that they received this great announcement. What we do know about these shepherds are what we know about pretty much all shepherds. Let me tell you a little bit about shepherds. Most of us today in our society, we have, we've kind of moved stumbling forward into 2013, headed into 2014. And so most of us don't know a great deal about shepherds. We certainly don't know much about shepherds in that time in that area. There's really no good way to describe it because the only thing I can compare a shepherd to is something else we don't know much about. Shepherds in the eyes of the average person in that time were somewhere in the vicinity, socially and friend-wise, they were about as welcome and as appreciated as a good leper. Okay? Yeah, we don't know a lot about lepers either. But that's about the assessment that most people had of shepherds. They were about as welcome at the company Christmas party as a leper. They had no social standing. They had no economic standing. They were nobodies. I think that's a lot of the reason we read this story. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they went. We don't know who they were related to. We know nothing about them because nobody knew anything about them. They were nobody. Listen, let's be honest. They smelled funny, okay? You know, and that was pretty much enough to get you scratched off most social registers. You know, they hung around animals. They smelled funny. They stayed out in the yard most of the time. They weren't the cleanest in town. You know, and furthermore, not only were they physically, but ceremonially, spiritually, they were considered unclean. And if you remember your Old Testament, you know that when you were considered unclean, they were unclean. What did the lepers have to yell out when somebody got near them? Unclean. Again, shepherds and lepers, pretty close cousins. As a matter of fact, I can imagine that many in that time thought more of lepers than they did shepherds because the lepers had a disease they couldn't help. The shepherds chose what they were doing. Yeah. And so shepherds were just pretty well at the bottom of the rung. They were unable to attend the temple because of their jobs, because of the hours they kept. They were considered unclean, so they weren't allowed in the temple. And so they just kind of had the snowball effect of all bad things. And so shepherds were totally off the mark. You know, you could have walked around Bethlehem for the rest of your life and said, God is coming, who will be the first to know? And nobody, not even the shepherds would have said, the shepherds. Nobody would have said, the shepherds. Not only the first to be announced to, but the only ones to be announced to. We don't have record of anybody else getting this announcement. Nobody. You say, what about the wise men? The wise men didn't get a personal announcement. What happened to the wise men? How did they find Jesus? A few years later, they managed to follow his star. Because they had studied all the world religions and put the pieces together. We don't have any record of them having an announcement. Just the shepherds. Jimmy, why are you making such a big deal out of that? Because it's important to me. And it should be to you. Because the shepherds were the most unlikely, unusual, unworthy, unprepared, unwhatever of anybody on the face of the earth. And yet God in His infinite wisdom, when He looked across space and time, said of all the people, well, over there's the priest, over there's the king, over there's the wealthy, down there's the country club. Of all of those that He said, I'm going to announce the birth of my son to. He went past the country club. He went past the temple. He went past the gated community. And He went out into the pasture to about the lowest group of people you could ever find and said, in the city of David, this day, a Savior is born. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful that God likes the unusual, the unworthy, the unlikely, and the unprepared. Because I am one of them. I fit in that group. I'm glad He doesn't just speak to the religious. I'm glad He doesn't just speak to the wealthy. Then only Archie would know. I'm glad, you know, that He chooses the unlikely and the unusual. I'm glad. I heard Evangelist Junior Hill, and I've told you this before, said that God chooses the ugliest and the dumbest to preach the gospel, because then when something good happens, they can't say, you're welcome, Jason, that's free. The ugliest and the dumbest to preach the gospel, because then if anything good comes out of it, they can't say they did it on their own. They know it had to be God at work. I think about Kenneth Ridings, a great, great man of God, and for many years, pastored up in Hendersonville and taught homiletics at Fruit Room, ultimately became the president of Fruit Room until he had to retire. And somewhere, if you ever heard him preach a series of meetings, he would introduce himself and he would he would come along and he would tell you, he'd say, I'm from a little town in South Carolina. I'm from Fingerville, South Carolina. You may not know where it is, but thank God, God knows where it is. Yeah, I've been through there. It's one of those don't blink or you miss it spots. I mean, it really is one of those that only God knows about. And listen, I don't know about you, but I know where I've been, and you may not know where I've been, but thank God, God knows where I've been, and He loved me anyway. Listen, the shepherds say to me, that great announcement, He didn't announce it to the religious, He didn't announce it to the rich, He didn't announce it to the famous, He went to the lowest and said, let it be known. The recipients, the most unlikely, I want to tell you something this morning, I thank God He announced it to the shepherds and not the priest. Because if He had announced it to the priest, you and I may have never known. The recipients, but out of that comes requirements. You know, the Bible says that unto whom much is given, much will be required. Let's play Bible for a moment, okay? Let's play shepherd for a moment. Let's just say you're sitting out in the field and you're watching your flock and you've got your little piece of hay hanging out the side of your mouth here, and I don't know if they chewed tobacco back then or whatever, but they're sitting out in the field and they're watching the stars twinkle, and you know, you've seen farmers with that little piece of hay, you know, one of them might have his corn cob pie, I don't know. You know, they're sitting out just shepherding, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, they're shepherding. You know, and all of a sudden, an angel appears, and then a group of angels appear, and tell them that in the city of David, a child is born, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And then the angels disappear. And one old hayseed sitting there, a piece of hay hanging out of his mouth, looks at his friend and says, "What are you having for lunch tomorrow?" Does that even make sense? Yeah. What are you and your wife doing for Christmas this year? We're going on vacation. Can you imagine, after that great event, they just kind of go back to business as usual. Can you imagine that after a multitude of angels appears singing in the sky, glory to God in the highest, that when they get done, one of them looks at the other and goes, "Boy, I'm glad they're gone. I couldn't think. I sure am glad they're not here anymore. Hey, they broke up my nap. I was asleep when all that racket started." Can you imagine that? No, of course not. Listen, all you got to do is pick up the Inquirer. Every time somebody sees a spaceship, they tell people, don't they? You're going to tell it. Have you ever been around? I know people this way, that they honestly don't know how to tell a story. You have to kind of just, it's like you have to reach down their throat and drag the story out of them. They'll come walking up and go, "We went to the ball game yesterday." They just walk. What ball game? Who played? Who won? Where at? How about filling in some details? "Oh, I was over in Charlotte." "And?" Who played? "Well, it was the Panthers." "Oh, okay. Well, who won?" "Oh, yeah. The Panthers won." "Okay." Yeah. And you just kind of have to drag out detail by detail by detail. I just can't, when you get an announcement like this, it's not one that you have to drag out the details. This is a story that just, if you hear this, you are required to go tell. One of the things that I noticed in this verse, I've never really picked up on this before, and it's not because God revealed something new to me, it's because I'm like you. I've read this story a million times. I just kind of take it for granted. But I noticed something this time that I'd never really caught on to before. Notice, think about this again. We don't know how many shepherds. 3, 13, 2, we don't know. Probably, maybe a dozen at the most. At the most. But look what the angel says. It says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of Christ, which shall be to all people." I want you to think about something for a moment. At this precise moment, who knows that the child of God has been born? Oh, there's one that knows. I guarantee you she knows. I was there when mine were born. I know Mary knows. That was before the day of good painkillers. Mary knows. Joseph knows. There's a possibility, since it was a day before all the painkillers, there's a few neighbors have a clue. They heard the screaming from down at the barn. But Mary and Joseph and a handful of shepherds know for sure. That's all we know that know, correct? Would you agree with that statement? Mary and Joseph and however many shepherds. That's the only ones that for sure know that the child is born. But he says it's for all people. So if all people are going to know, who has to tell? Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. How else is it going to get out? You may be unlikely and you may be unusual. You may be unworthy and you may be unprepared. But God has chosen, he says, the foolish things to confound the wise. Listen, there are requirements here. They're going to have to get over their fear. Fear not. And they were afraid. You know how I know they were afraid? Two reasons. A great big multitude of angels just appeared in the sky. I don't care who you are. That'll scare you. I don't care who you are. You sit there, "Oh, I'm tough." I don't care. A couple million angels pop up in the sky and go singing. You're scared. I don't care how tough you are. I hear people all the time, "I'm scared of nothing." You'd be scared that night. You sitting out in the pasture tending your flock, and a whole bunch of angels start singing, and the lights come on, you scared. I don't care what you say. The other reason I know it's because the angel told them, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. She wouldn't have told them that if he wasn't afraid. Fear not. They've got to overcome their fear. They've got to come forward. They've got to be faithful. Listen, you may be, but if we're going to be used, we've got to meet the requirements. He says that that all people will know. But here's the ultimate thing I want you to see. I want you to see these rewards. Look what happens. The Bible tells us what comes out of this story. What comes out of this great story? The shepherds, they look at each other and, you want to go see the baby? Yeah, I don't know. What about you? Yeah, I reckon. You know, nah. They take off. I mean, they're gone. You know, let the wolves have the sheep. We're out of here. You know, we're gone. You know, good luck to y'all. Ramble off. Whatever you got to do. We're out of here. You know, and they take off. And they arrive. And look what verse 14 says. Verse 14 tells us, I think, something that is extreme. Again, we went from fear not to down in verse 14 where it says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. You know, what was the reward? The shepherds, you know, I got to be honest with you. Shepherding, and some of you, you know, I don't know that I've ever been a shepherd, but I have took care of a few cows. I'm not, you know, a farmer by any stretch of the imagination, unless I have picked produce before. So right over there in the corner at Food Line, you know, here's some corn, you know. People ask me if I know how corn grows. Sure, it grows out in metal shelves at Food Line. I know how it grows. You know, listen, I'm not a farmer by any stretch of my hand. And shepherding is by far an honest, you know, it's not like being a bank robber or a drug dealer or anything. There ain't nothing wrong with that occupation if you choose it. But let's be honest. None of us grew up going, you know what I want to be when I grow up? A shepherd. Nah. You've never heard anybody say that. Never. 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 I want to be a shepherd when I grow up. Mm-mm. Nah. Yeah. It's just not what we wanted to be. These men are sitting out there tending to their flocks. And they're sitting there thinking, what I could have been, should have been, what I would have done, could have done. And these angels come along and say, fear not, peace. We've got a new role for you. We've got a new place for you. The peace that only this child could bring. The peace that this promise brought to him. When he tells them, you know, first of all, he says, fear not. Then he goes on, the angels go on, and we see that they sing that it's peace. They give them a new profession. They go from being shepherds to being evangelists. Bible tells us that they leave there praising and glorifying God. They go out from there and the most unusual, the most unworthy, the most unlikely people in the world become the first greatest evangelist in history. Why? Because God chose to make an announcement. Not to the rich, not to the royal, but to the rejected. God chose not to come to the powerful, but the pitiful. The ones that everybody else... Listen, there were people in these men's family who when the neighbors would come and say, by the way, what's your son Archie doing now? Well, he's a leper. Yeah, they'd tell him anything other than that he was a shepherd. Yeah, no, we're not telling him he's a shepherd. Yeah. He died in a horrible chariot accident. You know, they'd tell him anything. They didn't want people to know they were related to shepherds. You know, they wouldn't tell him when the family reunion was. They wouldn't tell him where the gathering was. They wouldn't tell him when they were having Christmas dinner. They wouldn't tell him where they were gathering for Thanksgiving. Their own families didn't want anything to do with them. But God looked, and through all of time, and all of people, he looked and he found the most unusual, the most unlikely, the most unworthy, the most unprepared, and said to his angels, go down there. I want to tell you something this morning. That's a great story. That's a great lesson. Because you know what? I don't mean to hurt your feelings because I am one of you. You are the most unusual, most unworthy, most unlikely that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would ever hang on a cross and die and shed His blood for. You're not even as good as a shepherd. Let's just be honest. The Bible tells us we're sinners. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You were unusual. You were unlikely. You were unworthy. And yet the King of Kings left glory to fulfill a promise to be born of a virgin, grow up and die on a cross so that you and I could have salvation. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. Today is the day. You need to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can become a Christian, how you can fulfill, how you can receive this great promise that God made true. You're here today and you're a Christian. You need to come and you need to kneel and say, Lord, I just want to thank You. I know I was unusual. I know I was unlikely. I know I was unworthy. And You loved me anyway. You reached down through time and You saw me. And You loved me. And You sent Your Son to die for me. And I just want to stop this Christmas season before the rush starts, before the gifts start flying, before the food starts going. And I just want to stop and tell You thank You. Thank You. As we stand together, as